Can you just say after me? If you have your Bibles open to the book of Colossians chapter 1, let's just read that one from there. It's a routine of prayer that I just feel that we should be taking every time. I'm taking from verse 9, I'm modifying it. So everybody just say after me. Say, I'm filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. I'm strengthened with all power. According to his glorious might. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's say one more time. Say, I'm filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, today I just wish to, well, let's see how it goes. But my plan is to finish that discussion we have been having on how to pray for a nation. And of course, don't ever forget it. The fact that God plans something. Let me just explain this to us again quickly. You know, we have to keep saying these things until people understand and imbibe, you know, the stuff so that it becomes a very part of the fiber of their beings. It's very important that we keep saying it. God has an order. There's a way he created things to be. The sovereignty of God is different from lawlessness. What I'm going to say is this. Once I was speaking with a reverend gentleman, this was many years ago, and I said that God could not have made Judas. No, I said God could not have made Peter betray Jesus Christ, that it had to be Judas that would betray Jesus. And he was saying, no, that God is sovereign. He was a reverend gentleman. You know, I'm a reverend. It's an ordained clergyman. He said that, no, that God is sovereign. God can do anything. I said, listen, there's a difference between sovereignty and lawlessness. All right? I'm summarizing everything we have said. I want to just bring out some few points again. I said there is a difference between sovereignty and lawlessness. Lawlessness is you just do anything you like. Are you getting my point? Anytime you like and you just do it, not minding what you did yesterday. All right? Well, somebody, I don't know how many ever watched, what's the name of this, this reality show on TV with Donald Trump? The Apprentice, yes, The Apprentice. Once a man just came from The Apprentice and they went and say, how was it? He said, Donald Trump is a man with a broken moral compass. Now, when an American tells something is broken, that's an American English for it's bad, it's spoiled, it's not working. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what they mean when they say something is broken. It doesn't mean it's smashed like glass. It means this thing is not working, all right? If I get to your house and your clock is not working, I'll tell you the clock is broken. That's how Americans speak. So he said that Donald Trump has a broken, all right, moral compass. And what was he saying? And actually, I had a complaint, too, when I watched that program before. Donald Trump is a big boss. He can fire anytime he likes. But there was something, I'm watching it a number of times, I noticed, especially after the first season. I realized that he didn't have any set of rules. He just wakes up in the morning. He said that, what happened? You talk to your friend like that? You shouldn't be talking to your friend like that. You're fired. Are you getting my point? That is so, I mean, people will do things that I considered personally honorable and to be emulated, things you teach your children to do, and Donald Trump will fire you for it. That, listen, you should understand that in business, all right, it's not like that. You know, stuff like that. So that man came back from an experience under that in that reality TV show and said, this man has a broken moral compass. And when I saw him say that, I said, I agree with him totally. Now, that's what people think that sovereignty is. Sovereignty doesn't mean you just do what you like because you are God anytime you like it. Sovereignty only means that you set the laws. The sovereignty of God means he makes the laws. But once he makes the laws, he keeps the laws too. That's what I want you to understand. I am not taking anything away from God's sovereignty. I'm just explaining the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in that he is a lawgiver. Once he makes the laws, he keeps the laws himself. What I mean is this. If he says the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, and the earth he has given to the sons of men, what it means that he respects that order. I need to emphasize that all the time. Please, I can't say it enough. While we are talking about how to pray for the nation, is for us to understand that what happens in a nation is dependent not only on the will of God, but also on how the people on the earth respond to it. God only decrees as a judge, and he does not always decree that which is his will. What God does with his will is to communicate it to his children on the earth, and they will now pray and say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven." Do you hear what I said? That's how the will of God is handled. He communicates his will. You know, somebody said something. My brother and I were chatting during the week, and this was interesting. One of us explained that in the university that the children go to, there's this doctrine that some people are introducing around, and they said that anything that happens is according to the will of God. Now, follow that. That they said anything that happens is according to the will of God. And one brother who is a minister, he responded and said, if that was true, then when Peter sank, it was the will of God. I don't know whether you got that. They said Peter walked on water, and then he sank. He said, if that's true, then that was the will of God. Which we know it wasn't. Because Jesus said, the reason why you sank was because what? You doubted. That even though God is in the heavens, and he desired that Peter should walk, and he uttered the word that Peter come, which gave him the ability to walk on water. The moment Peter took his eyes away from that word, he began to sink. And Jesus said to him, the reason, I'm paraphrasing now, the reason why you sank was not because I didn't want you to walk on water. It was because you did not do the thing that was necessary to ensure that my will came to pass in your life. Are you getting my point? So like I say all the time, God's will has to be, please try and follow what I'm going to say. God's will has to be, which word do I use now? Okay, God's will has to be, find me a word now. I don't want to use the word executed, but that's the closest I can think of to it now. Okay, let's just use that for a moment. God's will has to be executed by mankind. So that is why you and I must learn the will of God. Did you understand what I said? Because it's only after we have learned the will of God, and then we will not decree and speak or pray and whatever it is with the will of God, that the will of God is now done on the earth. Which was why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven." If that prayer was not necessary, he would not have taught his disciples. Let me say this, that's how your life is also. And what prayer is for you to decree the will of God over every situation. I'm not saying that I say, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. That's not what I mean. Not a passive decreeing of the will of God, but an active decreeing and say, this is the will of God. Let it be done. Last time I talked about praying for judgment. It is the will of God that iniquity be judged. One of the mistakes we make in praying, we won't make it anymore, is to make it appear as if God must not judge iniquity, that it is not in line with his will. It is not so. The will of God is that iniquity must be judged, and my understanding of it, I think it's correct, is that if we don't say that, it will not be judged. Are you getting my point? And then eventually, destruction will have to come upon the whole land. Please, let's follow that very, very closely. I want to say this again and again. Everything you say, everything you do as a believer, especially with your words, is affecting what is going on around you. It is. It is not honest. It is not, when I say honest now, it's not innocent, like I did not mean it. No. What has that got to do with what is going on? The way you and I respond when you open the pages of your newspaper, all right? The way you respond to the things you hear, the kind of things that arise from your heart concerning the land is very important. Without it, if God wanted to do A, and nobody, none of us agreed that A should be done, A will not be done. Please, what I'm saying is very, very important. That's why I said, as far as I understand it now, the way, I know Satan is very crafty. He's very crafty. He deceives people through his subtlety, and then he makes sure that what he wants done is what is done. What do I mean by that? If I, let me just give this example, all right? I'm digressing, but let me just digress to help you. Amen? I shouldn't digress. I should digress. So say amen now.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. So that you can agree with me. You know, I gave an illustration some time ago. You've heard this one before, that a man is having problems, and he goes to some people that God will soon judge, and they say it's his mother that's causing his problem, that his mother is a witch. You've heard that thing before? Yes, you've seen it. Has it happened to you? No, don't say amen to them. I'm sure it's happened to somebody that you know. You sit at home, the fellow sits at home, he's praying, they now go, a prophet sees a vision. Now, you must understand, that prophet actually, there are two kinds of prophets. There are prophets that lie, they did not see any vision. You just give them money and they say what you want to hear. Yes, there are prophets like that. Okay? God will also punish them rapidly. All right? That's one set. But there are prophets that they are not themselves at that point in time, they are not lying. In that they are not saying something that they do not have a very serious reason to say. I was still listening to this message, this story I've used to illustrate something here for us before. Derek Prince, who said he was casting out a demon from a woman who had a familiar spirit. And suddenly that this woman wanted to be delivered. All right? Maybe she was into witchcraft and stuff like that. And the man was casting the demon out of her. And she suddenly had the vision. And saw Derek Prince in a car that had an accident. All right? And had jammed against a tree. And the man was inside a car that had the accident, which had been crumbled against, he hit a tree. And he said to him, "Oh, I see you in a red car that was crashed on a tree." And the man said simply, "All right, what you have seen is the will of Satan, the plan of the devil for my life, except that I don't walk in the plan of the devil." So it was not a matter of prayer point. Let us pray. Everybody pray for me. They saw it. And if you hear Pastor Banks say it's a lie, he said they really saw it. That woman, she saw something. Last year, she told my cousin that he would fail an exam. Do you know the boy was very smart and he failed. 2 years ago, he didn't remember. Last week, then you give 10 instances of things that the fellow saw. And it came to pass. And to you, that's a validation of the prophetic ministry of that Satan worshiper. Yeah, it's very important you understand it. That's why when you go to white garment churches and all those prophets that are always seeing things, they will see things. It's called familiar spirit. So that's the second type of prophet. And it's also in the scriptures like that. I have a number of examples, all right? One of the best examples is the one that God sent, not Satan, God sent to the mouth of the prophets that were prophesying for Ahab. And Jehoshaphat was there. And they prophesied. And those prophets were not lying. Please, you must understand what I'm saying. They were not lying, as in they had a reference. But what they had in their mouth was a lying spirit. So they were not the ones lying. It was the spirit that possessed them that was lying. So the guy felt under an unction. He felt he had something to say. He said the thing and he felt it was accurate. Now this is the point. Will it come to pass? It depends on who you are. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, please, I started that from somewhere. Let me not, I almost forgot where I started from now. Let me quickly get back there now that I have remembered. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm going somewhere. How Satan is very subtle. So some of these people, they walk in there, and one of those prophets, that is, depending on the type of prophet the fellow is, says to him that your mother is a witch. When you went home, 3 weeks ago, she met you at the gate, did she not? Now, the familiar spirit is telling him stories of what really happened. But you, because you only study physics and engineering, are you getting my point? And biology. You think everything is mechanical, biological, and physiological. Are you getting my point? You cannot understand why a spirit will know what happened in your village 400 kilometers away. Your mother met you at the gate, did she not? Yes. Normally, when you come, she's inside the house. And then you quickly, you know, your mind grows through it. Yes, yes, yes. That is true. That is true. That is true. Okay? Do you know why she met her at the gate? They had planned. And of course, you know, after that, since she was right, the joker was right on that. You know, you believe every other thing. So, prophet, what do I do? You will go and bring arrears of tithe of the last 2 years with which you were doing your business. Which is where, this is where the whole thing started from anyway. It was so that the guy can eat. Now, I've been telling you, poverty is a very terrible thing, you know. Man starts seeing all kinds of visions when he's too poor. Then he says to you, now this is where I tell you the whole story. He now says to you simply, don't go home again. I know what happens to the man. He doesn't go home again. And you have to be careful who you give your money to. If you give your money to a witch, you empower the witch. That's where I'm going. And so what, you know what happens? He stops giving his mother money. That's what I call the subtlety of the devil. You know what the devil was trying to do? The devil wanted to kill him all these years. He could not. Why? That woman was praying for him. That's why I'm saying Satan is very subtle. Let me just pray a prayer for you. And pray for you. Pray for yourself every day. May God give you understanding.
Amen.
May you not be confused in life.
Amen.
May you not believe a lie.
Amen.
Many people, I've seen them. I've seen them. They're in bondage. And they think they are into freedom. Satan just exchanges one form of bondage for another. What I'm talking about, how subtle the guy is this. He has taken that man away from the only source of help that he had. In the office, they don't like him. They are jealous of him. So that one, now swear that they swear for him every day. They wake up in the morning. This man, no go bet. That is, this man, he'll just die. That's what they are wishing him for. Satan can't use that. He's not powerful enough. He did not offend those people. Do you get my point? But, and one person there is praying for him every day. And that is his mother. Satan says, how can I ensure that this woman stops praying? He now leads the joker to a lying prophet. And he sends a lying spirit into the mouth of the joker, of the prophet. Who now tells this joker man, now you get what I'm saying, that your mother is your problem. And if he believes it, he's dead meat. Why? Because the only person making intercession for him has just been withdrawn from the job. So he buys a new car, but the mother is not eating well. And the mother gets to hear. You understand what I'm saying? After a while, even though she loves him, she's pained. Now, why is my son this wicked? Unless I was not the one that breastfed him, that's it, he's dead. By the time the woman starts uttering curses in his direction, in the office, they cursed him. The last girlfriend he jilted, that one is still cursing him every day. He has his photograph on the wall. You go die. You go die. The only person that was sustaining this fellow was his mother. And that one had dead. Unless I was not the one that breastfed him. That's when God will not judge. And that's actually what God is going to do. Judge. Why? Because it's in the scriptures. That he that does that to his mother, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. So she's suddenly an accuser. You know what Satan has done? He has recruited everybody onto his side. Then one day the man is walking on the road. He just gets a headache. Whoom! And he gets a stroke and just dies like that. And Satan says, ah, now wow, to kill this guy, 18 years, only you. Now, you understand what I'm going to explain? He's very subtle. He's very subtle. I'm going somewhere. I know that my digression, although I've made my point, it also has helped some people. Let me sit on it for a moment. Please, learn the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
One day, a friend of my wife's friend was standing with her, and somebody said, a beggar came. I said, please give me money to eat. Now listen to how Satan deceives people. He said, if you give him money, now they said, some of these people, you give them money, they will take away your luck. Have you heard that before? You give a beggar money, it will take away your luck. The first question, if you ask yourself this, if I'm a child of God, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. That is, the beggar can't take it away. The peace of God is not just be happy. The peace of God is spiritual power that's working in your life. Can a beggar take that away from you? Now, why I brought up that issue is this. It is a blessed thing to give to the poor. So when Satan wants to ensure that you are not blessed, he lies to you that if you give to the poor, they will remove your luck. Please, that's what I'm begging you. Daddy, my wife was so vexed. She said, you see, that's what your problem is. Told her friend, I have been warning you. Come and study the word of God. You will tell me you don't have time. Look at the nonsense adult like you is talking. That's why I prayed for you earlier. May God give you understanding. Amen. May you not believe a lie. Amen. God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Very important. All right? Now, so let me explain that. Let me get back to the matter of praying for the nation. So I need to explain that to let you understand. One of the problems that we've had, like in a place, in a country like ours, Satan will subtly tell us to bind the whole state. We can bind the whole state. That is, they say, Zamfara has declared Sharia. They will see. That it, but now you finish. You don't utter a word of intercession for the state. Now remember, the intercession now is not just God bless, bless. No, I think we've established that. When you have God bless, God also has to judge iniquity. Yes. You have no, and I want to explain something briefly. That's why I'm saying all of this, and so I can conclude this this message today. Now, you are angry. That's what Satan does. You have a cousin, a village man, somebody who was killed in a bombing somewhere, and you are angry. And when enough of us, all right, become angry, we bind a place, and Jesus said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven." You know what that means? Even if God wanted to do miracles in that place, if all of us said were to sit down and say no, and nobody is saying yes, that's it. Miracle on suspension. I think if you don't get any other thing, get this thing very, very, very firmly in your mind. That you can't, oh God, listen. As a body of Christ, we can tell God, you will never evangelize this particular country. It is not as if we will go there and go and sit and say, God, this country will never... We won't say it like that. You know, in fact, we are too nice. Are you getting my point? We won't be able to acknowledge that we said it. It's the way we respond when matters there come up. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's the way we respond. And even though God would... You know, his will was to bless and, you know, release his power in that place... Oh, God, please. When I make this statement, you appear as if, he's God. I'm aware. If he wasn't God, why would I be serving him? Even if he wanted, his deepest desire was to bless the place, and all of us said, no. Guess what? The answer is what? The answer is what? No. He can't do anything. So what will he now do? He has a choice of two. One, to wait until all of us will have died and our children will have been raised up in the understanding of truth and they will say yes. Or if he's too impatient for us to die naturally. I don't want to say the other side. Are you getting my point? He will hasten the thing so that somebody else can quickly come up and say yes. But somebody has to say yes. And listen, for those who have been saying yes to the blessing of God in this nation for a very long time, listen to me, the husbandman that labors will be the first partaker of the fruit. I didn't hear the amen well enough. Oh. Okay, maybe many people have not been saying the yes. If indeed from your heart you have been saying yes to God's blessing upon this nation, in this country you can never be poor. You will not fail.
Amen.
This land will not vomit you out.
Amen.
It will not happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's a matter of fact. What I'm saying is just a matter of fact. That's how it works. Now, so that's the point I'm trying to make, that you see, Satan can be very subtle. So what he does is to get people angry. They are angry with Kano State. Sanusi is now Emir. How can? They are angry. Listen, forsake wrath. What did I say? Stop being angry. You see where my message is going, the main thing I want to say today, then I will close the whole series. Stop being angry. The reason is that if all of us say no, God can't say yes. Because he said to himself, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And why are we teaching the way we are teaching? So as to help the people of God pray properly. So that they can loosen on earth, so that God can loosen the same thing in the heavens. That's why you used to hear me preach. People say, divide it. You know, if enough Christians say divide it, it's divided. I don't know whether you hear what I said. If enough Christians say divide it, it's divided. If you're all in agreement, come and say, Anna, listen to me. I said, God does not, you know, God operates two ways. I've said it before. One as a judge. And what's a judge? A judge rules on the preponderance of evidence. That's his job. He does not do that which he wills. A judge doesn't do that. What he wants is not what he does. He does what has been argued, all right? And he has been persuaded about because the arguments are sound. That's what he does as a judge. So if we all agree that what God wants done will not be done, it will not be done. That's the point I'm making. But what is prayer there for? Now, I'm getting down to it now. Prayer for a nation is simply for us to give our voices, our words, our authority, all right, to that which God wants to do. That's what it is. Listen, the Bible makes it clear that it is the will of God that every man should believe, should hear the gospel and believe the gospel. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are what? They are few. Therefore, he said, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest field. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And therefore, I said, listen, even though you don't want to go to Borno State, you don't want to go to Jigawa State, where else? You don't want to go to Yobe. There are, God has the ability to pour a spirit inside people and they will not want to leave the place. Therefore, what are you supposed to do? Stop binding the place. Stop binding the place. In your heart, assuming that they will never hear the gospel. Truth will never enter into the place. No, you must stop that. What do you do? And one active way by which you can ensure you are not doing that is to start uttering prayers specifically about those places. When you hear a negative report, then you start obeying the word of the Lord Jesus that said, send laborers into the harvest field. Now, this is where I'm going. As I want to say something today, I say that now I close, all right? Now, the mistake we make sometimes when it comes to prayer is that, now it's good to feel the agony. You understand my point? It's good to feel it from the bottom of your heart so that it twists your stomach. You want to, you don't, you can't do but pray. It's good. If it happens to you, praise God. Amen?
Amen.
But even if you don't feel like that, once you know the truth, what you do to truth is what? Utter it. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. Even if you think you are not feeling it, once you know the truth, your duty is to simply utter it. Therefore, how do you pray for a nation? We have been saying it, we talked about it before. Pray the Lord of the harvest. So as you are going on the road, you hear, you buy a newspaper, and here there was one bomb in Yobe. The normal human response, I've said they should divide this country. Why shouldn't they divide the country? They should divide the country. Well, I'm bringing an issue here. The response is not divided. The response is that, Lord, send laborers. Now, my emphasis is that you are not feeling it. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not, God. You don't know anybody in Yobe, really. You know. You don't. But you're a Nigerian. It's part of your nation. It's part of your nation. All right? It is. So you have the right to speak. So simply you look at it and say, Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. Now, one of the things I learned from Derek Prince, you don't have to use big English. You don't even have to substitute the word Yobe for harvest field. No, yes, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. You don't even have to substitute to say, just in your mind, just remember, you are looking at Yobe State, and you say simply to God, send laborers into the harvest field in the name of Jesus. It's a simple statement, except that every time you see something like that, that's how you respond. And that's how you consistently respond. What I like about such things is that it's so short, it's easy to say. Even when you are angry, you can say it. Your flesh is feeling angry, but your mouth can utter it. Send laborers into the harvest field. There's one prayer I'm praying for the, you know, the next year's election. Now, I know most Southerners have taken it for granted that good Lord Jonathan is winning. Forget it. What did I say? And I didn't say he will not win. Did I say that? What I'm saying is that forget taking it for granted. Now, what should you do? Let's think about it simply. If God wants to bless a nation, I'm not going to discuss that in details now. What he does is to give, one of the things he does is to give the nation, I'm reversing a particular scripture actually, when he wants to punish the Egyptians, he gives them into the hands of a cruel ruler. When he wants to bless a nation, he puts them into the hand of a very smart, intelligent, and benevolent ruler. That's what he does. So God, election is coming. Why should, how should a Christian respond? Please, there are prayers you are not allowed to pray. Let me say it again. There are prayers you are not allowed to pray. You cannot pray prayers like, God, no northern Muslim must be president again. It's a stupid prayer. You know why? I'll give you from the scriptures. The king that liberated Israel from captivity was not a Jew. He did not care, that is, as he was building gods for idols, temples for idols, so was he supporting the temple in Egypt. He didn't care which god was correct. And yet God said concerning Cyrus that I called you by your name. I ordained that you will make my oppressed go free. The presidency of Nigeria is not a bishop position. It's not deacon. It didn't say, no, whosoever deserves the office of a president shall be the husband of one wife. No, it doesn't matter. Are you getting my point? Yeah, listen, you don't give criteria that God didn't give for a particular position. If it's pastor of your church you are praying for, are you getting my point? You can pray, say, Lord, according to the word of God, whosoever desires the office of a bishop must be, how did he say it again? That's the only one everybody remembers, husband of one wife. The other things inside there now, what is this? Is this wife matter and a serious matter? Anyway, there are many things. Must not be given to wine, must be apt to teach. You understand my point? You can pray those prayers. Are you getting my point? For the bishopric of a Christian assembly. You go to pray and say, brother, let us pray. We are praying for the next president of Nigeria. He must be a husband of one wife. The Lord, the other ones have been coming. How many wives have they had? Are you getting my point? Now, the point I'm making is this. You don't give criteria that God did not give. That's one of the reasons why the prayers of Christians are not effective. This is how I pray, and I've begun to pray that prayer, and I'm asking you to join it also. If you are just starting now anyway, we are a bit late. We should have started it like 6 years ago, but it's better late than never, all right? Now, this is how you pray that prayer. Lord, give us leaders. One, who will uphold righteousness. It's a very simple prayer. Justice. And who by his decrees and laws, if we don't use decrees, the gospel of God will progress in this country. Now listen, even if the guy has 16 wives, it doesn't concern me. If he will fulfill this criteria, because the electoral, that position in the nation is not reserved for Christians alone. This statement I've made, many people sit in their homes and be arguing it. But one thing they cannot argue is that you can pray a simple prayer. Well, I'm just saying, don't add too many things to it. Prayer is not hard. Prayer is to take the word of God and utter it. Yesterday, my brethren, we gathered because for certain reasons, all right, and we began to pray. And one of the things I said to them, I was one leading the prayer. I said, what are we coming here to do? Of course, it's virtual prayer. Remember, virtual. When I say we gathered, I don't want to tell you where we gathered. You know what I'm saying? We gathered, you know, some people gathering somewhere in Abuja, somewhere over, not, you know, over in an island somewhere, up Port Harcourt, somewhere in Benin, or in Enugu, some in Warri, you know, different parts of the, I think the country, anybody from outside the country? No, nobody from outside the country. But we gathered at a particular time, and I was the one leading the prayers. And one of the things I said to them simply is, I said, listen, the prayer here is not to shout and beg God for anything. It's just to lift the word of God up in the lives of our brethren. We're praying for our brethren. Some things happened, so we wanted to pray, all right? It's just to take the word of God and lift it up. We make it mixed sometimes. You see somebody, you've seen preachers who know how to speak big English when they are praying. When some people are praying, Honestly, when I pray, and when we're young Christians, it used to intimidate us. It was intimidating. So when you go and you've heard enough now. So when is your time to pray? You join all the things that everybody, of course, everything you heard them say before. You join it so that you feel like you are seriously praying. But oh God, as I began to learn the word, it got to a point. Once I prayed for my wife, she had to laugh. She laughed. Why did she laugh? She said, "You pray very funny." The prayer was one statement. That was when she was going to deliver, I think it was Olugbenga. Yes. Was it Akinlu? No, it was Olugbenga. It was a simple statement. I just uttered the word. Funny enough, that one was based upon the revelation. And I had a dream a few days before. So it's as if God gave me that word to use to pray. I just said to her simply, where other people go, where many people go and they don't return, you walk in there and you walk back nicely like nothing happened. Amen. So she looked at us, "Have you finished?" "I have finished." Isaiah laughing, said, "You pray very funny." I said, "What more do you want me to do? Okay, what do you desire more than what I have said?" Are you getting my point? Is it not what you desire that have spoken, you know? That is what I have said. What more are you looking for? You want me to hold your hand and squeeze it? In the name of Jesus. I begin to call as it were, you know?